That is true. And I think there is a whole lot more focus, as we talked about earlier, on soft skills and being able to tell the story behind whatever numbers or analysis. Critical thinking and problem solving are key. And then, again, folks who are able to adapt and change as things change around them.
Hello, and welcome to Off the Books, where we surf the uncharted waters of accounting, finance, risk, and wherever else the waves take us. This episode is brought to you by Workiva, the one platform that unites the financial reporting, ESG, audit, and risk teams, like the subway unites the five boroughs of New York City. My name is Catherine Tsai, professional asker of questions and lover of venti soy chai lattes. I'm looking forward to debuting a great conversation, and I'm happy to have you with us. I'm also happy to have Mike Gravano joining me. Mike, please tell everyone about yourself.
Hello, Catherine. I am an off-the-books producer, recovering cherry coke addict. I said it like there was going to be a third thing. Those are my things. It is off the rails today because Steve's not here, so we get to do what we want.
That's right. And today, we're continuing our series that we recorded in front of the New York Stock Exchange as part of Workiva's celebration of 10 years of being a public company. And today, we're going to be hearing from Shifra Kolsky, CAO of Discover Financial Services.
Correct. We had a wide-ranging conversation with Shifra covering everything from advice to other leaders in finance, advice for future accountants of the world, to how she's approaching changing technology and emerging regulations.
Yeah, let's dive in.
Shifra Kolsky, we are here in front of the New York Stock Exchange, recording Off the Books and celebrating Workiva's 10 years as a public company. Thank you so much for taking a moment to chat with us.
My pleasure.
So we want to start out and talk about leadership. You have been a leader for a really long time. And I'm wondering, as you think about the next generation with everything that is going on right now, what does the next generation of leadership look like for accounting and finance professionals?
I think it's important for finance and accounting professionals to understand the business that they support and to have a good foundation in what the business objectives are and to learn how to track, measure, monitor, plan ahead based on what those core business objectives are. I think partnering and communication are all key elements that play into what we need in finance leadership.
And that seems like something that you don't necessarily learn in school. So do you have any advice for people who are coming up about what's the best way to do some of those things that you just mentioned?
I think honestly, it's practice. Recognizing what some of the soft skills are that you might need and being able to get yourself into situations where you can just practice those skills again and again to get more comfortable.
I love it.
When you think about your career and you think about the development of those soft skills, you know, there's that concept of your personal board of directors, those people that you seek advice, that you counsel with if you're having, career hurdles, that type of thing. How has that personal board of directors evolved for you over the course of your career?
But for me, I really have different people that I'll go to depending on what the situation is that I'm dealing with. And I think having some folks who may be very familiar with, you know, sort of the dynamics of a situation or the politics of a situation, and other people who can be very objective and look at it from an outside perspective is very helpful.
What's the best piece of advice that board of directors gave you?
Surround yourself with people who are smarter than you are.
That's so easy for me.
As we're thinking about maybe a little bit of introspection about like where you've been along your career, how have things changed? I mean, especially over the course of the last, 3 to 5 years, it just seems like the pace of change has been accelerated significantly. There are a lot more challenges for accounting and finance teams. How would you characterize or describe that change that you've experienced for you personally, as well as the people that you work with?
I think there's a couple of things. And if I'm looking at sort of the last 5 years, there's a couple of different things that have happened. The way we work has changed. The tools we use continue to evolve and at a pace that just requires an accelerated level of learning on the daily. And then I think from just a broader regulatory landscape, there have been a whole variety of things that have come in pretty rapid succession that we've had to deal with. And so I think on those different fronts, there's just been, as you said, like a whole lot that folks have had to figure out. And I think it really has led to the need for, again, more of those soft skills that we talked about. And learning agility, to me, is one of the biggest things that we need because things evolve so quickly.
I wanted to dig in a little bit deeper on a couple of those things. You mentioned technology. Because tools are changing and we need technology more and more these days, how do you view technology and the use of it in your field?
I think it's a phenomenal tool, and it is useful not only for processing things, but also for risk management and for efficiency. And so from my perspective, the more that we can automate things and the more we can leverage the tools that are available to us, the more human beings can focus on analytics and things that require deeper thought. So I think technology is fantastic.
And would you apply that same characteristic, though, to artificial intelligence and generative artificial intelligence? I mean, I've heard people refer to it like, well, you know, if you were using a typewriter back in the day, that's going to enable you to do a little bit more than if you're writing it out by hand, and calculators and spreadsheets are out of me. You can sort of apply that as we go. Would you put generative AI in that same category?
So yes, with a caveat.
Okay.
Because I would tell you, like, I'm a little nervous about some of the things that it might be able to do. But looking at it as a tool and an accelerator, I would definitely seek to leverage it in ways that can benefit, you know, my team, my company. Bigger, broader social perspective, I'm a little more wary.
Okay.
Because it's so new, what role do you think, and this is hard asking you to predict the future, but in 5 years, what role do you think Gen AI is going to have for your job specifically?
I do see the potential of generative AI helping with, you know, preparing all sorts of materials that we use, whether it is as basic as just variance analysis, sure, or looking at trends over time. Or preparing board presentations. I see it as an accelerant for all of that. I don't think it would replace the need for human thought,
right,
and consideration and review.
Yeah.
But I do see it as a tremendous accelerant.
That's an intriguing question for me, and just in terms of like what accounting and finance students today should be learning. What do you think they should be learning as far as Gen AI, and how much should they be digging into it now?
I don't know if it's Gen AI specific, and I'll go back to learning agility and being able to master new technology, master different ways of coming at problems. And to me, it's much more the critical thinking and the problem-solving skills, and not as much the specific use of a particular technology.
One of the things that struck me when I graduated and I got into the field is how little you actually learned in school about how to actually do auditing, prepare a journal entry, a reconciliation beyond like a simple bank reconciliation. And I often thought that was a bit of a disconnect, you know, maybe the education process versus the vocational process, but teaches you how to learn. I mean, yes, there's facts and those kind of things, but at least within the microcosm of a classroom, you're able to take those facts, learn them, and then actually put them into practice in such a way that tends to mimic just a little bit, you know, let's say a technical accounting analysis or in the middle of an integration, mm-hmm, or some kind of an acquisition. That's the kind of learning that you're doing on the spot. I mean, nobody, you know, has memorized, at least not that I know of, you know, all, I don't know, 900 or whatever sections of the accounting standards codification.
I did. I have.
Surrounding myself with people smarter than me.
Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. I just think that that's the kind of foundation that you need, and whether that's being applied to a spreadsheet or great technology like Workiva, or as we've been talking about generative AI, in order for you to be successful, that's really the foundation that you have to build. Because I would suspect, Schiffer, that the skills that you're looking for, you know, let's say a new staff accountant today, probably look quite a bit different than they did 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
That is true. And I think there is a whole lot more focus, as we talked about earlier, on soft skills and being able to tell the story behind whatever numbers or analysis. Critical thinking and problem solving are key. And then again, folks who are able to adapt and change as things change around them.
For you, what are some of the biggest upcoming challenges that you're facing, or what regulations are scaring you the most right now?
So for me, there's two things that are sort of recurring agenda topics. One is climate risk disclosure, which I am sure you're going to hear from everybody. And then for me, working in a bank, Basel III Endgame is another that we are having on the agenda on the regular.
And do you connect the dots between preparing for that regulation versus the role of data and technology? Do you look at those kind of like in the same sort of bucket, or would you still maybe keep those separate?
When we look at data and technology, it's with sort of that, what is the purpose? What's the use? What are the things that we're going to need? And so, yes, as we're looking at new regulations, there is that eye to what is the data that's going to help support implementation? How are we going to support whatever the process is, and what kind of technology might we need to enable that process if it's something new?
Are you relying on desktop tools and shared drives? Stuck in a vicious, never-ending cycle of back-and-forth emails? Wish you had more time to proactively manage risk? Stop wasting valuable time corralling colleagues and updating status reports, and start spending more time on what matters with Workiva. Create alignment across key stakeholders, yes, all of them, with centralized collaboration. Drive better business decisions with insights on demand, and spend more time on value-added work by automating all those awful, repetitive tasks. Plus, connect your GRC processes with your ESG and financial reporting all in the same platform. Seriously. See why audit and risk teams love Workiva at workiva.com/risk. That's workiva.com/risk.
How do you think leaders need to approach regulatory readiness in general?
In general, I think there needs to be thoughtful planning, understanding how something is applicable to your company, your situation, and planning out what are the steps you need to take to be ready, and assigning accountability, you know, names, dates,
yeah,
deliverables, and really staying on top of things.
Yeah, not a willy-nilly, and somebody will handle it, like pin it down.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That makes sense.
It's a good framework.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you see that really commonly right now as companies are thinking about, you know, if you're in financial services, for example, obviously there's a whole other set of regulations, let's say, a retailer wouldn't necessarily have to worry about.
Right.
However, retailer may have supply chain or other considerations. And so I think it's that multifaceted, you know, multi-process, multi-team approach to figuring out, okay, how do we connect the dots between all of the things that may need to be done, depending on where regulation heads, versus, hey, what do we know we need to do now? Because we're not going to regret it. It's going to drive efficiency, reduce risk, you know, whatever that might be.
And I think there's an ongoing prioritization that needs to happen. Like seeing that landscape of all the things, whether it's specific to your business or whether it's something broader in the regulatory landscape, but having that awareness and prioritizing on a regular basis.
Right. One of the things I do have to ask you, Shifra, you and I met through the SEC Professionals Group. It's near and dear to my heart. You've been a member and a supporter for a long time. I'm wondering, how do those types of networks, associations, interactions, how has that helped you over your career to be able to navigate the landscape that you find yourself in right now?
It's invaluable. I think being able to talk to folks, industry doesn't necessarily matter. Sometimes it's helpful to speak to people in the same industry so that you can dive into industry-specific topics, but there are so many things that are broad, common themes that folks in finance and accounting are dealing with, and being able to talk to peers about how they're approaching different things, being able to hear how other people have solved problems you're looking at has been invaluable.
Thank you. As I would agree.
It's always good to nerd out over topics with people who understand what you're talking about.
Yeah. So exactly.
Well, get into the weeds.
Well, it is. And honestly, I mean, Schiffer, you know this as well as anybody. You know, SEC reporting can get really, really technical really, really quickly. And unfortunately, some of that technicality, I think, is maybe a little bit distance from core operation, even core accounting. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, just the group of people that you could talk to about that, I think, is pretty small. So I've always found that for me, just as you said, it's so invaluable to be able to have that kind of network of those people to go to. And that applies in SEC reporting. It may apply in journalism. It may apply in whatever Mike does. Just kidding. Actually, Mike is really connected in the podcast community, yep. Actually. And I know you get a lot of value of
oh,
having
definitely.
Those networks.
Yeah, stuff's changing all the time. Like, it's the transformation is whatever industry you're in, and tech is always changing what we do in the podcast world. So, yes, I wish there was a podcast pro group.
Well, it's not too late, Mike.
Closing question of the day, and we did not plan this. Schiffer, one, thank you for spending time with us. We're in New York. Where's the best place to get a slice? And if you're not into pizza, best restaurant or that you think everybody needs to check out if they're here?
I'm so the wrong person to ask.
Well, then if you weren't looking for a restaurant, how would you spend an afternoon free in New York City?
Oh, so today with the weather we're having, I would be wandering and getting up as close to the water as I can and possibly doing one of the little boat tours.
Nice.
Excellent. Excellent.
Good answer. I know what we're doing later then. Yeah. There you go.
That's right. Well, Schiffer Kolsky from Discover Financial Services, thank you so much for spending time with us. It has been a pleasure. So glad you dropped by to be part of this wonderful moment. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you again to Schiffer Kolsky, and thank you, dear listener, for surfing along with us. I'm Catherine Tsai, you heard Mike Gravano, and this has been Off the Books, presented by Workiva. We'll be back next week in front of the NYSE, talking to repeat guest Jonathan Gregory of the Hershey Company.
Please subscribe, leave a review, tell your buddies if you like the show. If you're watching this on YouTube, leave us a note in the comments, or feel free to drop us a line at offthebooks@workiva.com. Surf's up, and we'll see you on the next wave.